If you have a cell phone, I'm going to ask you right now at this point of the service, if you will put that on mute, because quite frankly, nobody wants to hear it. Now look, if I can't kid and have fun with you, you up in the wrong church, okay? We believe in laughing here and having a good time, and I'm going to kid around with you. And like I said, if you don't like that and it offends you, I don't know what to tell you. You've got to have to get a better attitude or something. But, you know, every single week I always start my messages out. And what do I say, Bobby? He does. Okay. God is good. See, I love to just put people on the spot. And I know I can do that with a good old Bobby here. But I always say it's important to do what? To bring your Bible. It's important to get into the Word, because when you get into the Word is going to get into you. And you know, there's times where I sit and I think about things. And the other day I was thinking about 11th grade biology class. And I know, I passed that with a D, literally. And I was not good at science or math. I was great at talking and English, lunchtime, recess. The socialization part of school, great, succeeded. But we got up into biology in the 11th grade, and they decided it was a great idea to let us kids dissect a frog. And there's always that one weird person in life that's going to take everything one step further than what it really needs to go. And no, that person was not me, believe it or not. But there was this girl in my class, and she took the organs of the frog, and she put them down her throat. Now, she still had a hold of it, but she was taunting Mr. Stephen Morgan in Scranton. I don't think he's there anymore, or if he is, he's very old. But she took that, Tyler, and she was dangling it in her throat, and he was freaking out because he's like, that's got formaldehyde in it. You're going to die. They're going to see the skull, and just, you know, giving us all the rundown of why we can't eat this frog that we're dissecting. And really only one person wanted to do that, and she was a little strange. But I have learned that, you know, when you really want to understand something, you dissect it and you break it down. And so I'm in a season of my life where the Word has just come alive to me in a whole new way, and it's because every word I've learned means something. And so we're going to once again be in Genesis chapter 22. Everybody's like, oh, God, she's going there again. When are we going to get past this? Look here, when we get past it. And so Genesis chapter 22, we're going to look at verse 1. And I'm going to start reading here. But, you know, when you begin to read the Word and you open up the Word of God, if you have trouble understanding the Word of God, before you read, if you'll just say a prayer, Lord God, open up my understanding. Does anybody have trouble? When you read the Bible, you have a little trouble understanding it. If you'll raise your hand, keep that hand up because I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, for every hand that's up, God, I ask that you'd open up their understanding. Lord, every time they open up the Word, God, I thank you that you open up their heart, God, and you open up their understanding. Lord, they begin to know and to understand what your Word is saying. And God, let it take life inside of them to change them, God, in Jesus' name, amen. So we have to dissect the Word. And so in chapter 22, verse 1, it says, sometime later, God tested Abraham, and he said to Abraham, here I am, he replied. So I'm not going to rehash everything that we've been going over the past 2 weeks, but I will say this. I'll pull out the important points. God can and will test you. We see that right here in the Word where he tested Abraham. So I'm going to tell you that there's going to be times where you're going to be tested. There's also times where you're not tested. You're just going through the product of your disobedience, and you're in a storm because you zigged when you should have zagged. And it's important for you to know what you are going through. The second point that I'm going to pull out of here is that God will call you by name. Don't ever think that you're unimportant to God, that he doesn't love you, that he doesn't care about you, that he's mad at you, because he loves you so much that he calls you by name. And that's an important thing for you to know in your life. When everything is going wrong, God still knows you. He knows every hair that's on your head or lack thereof, and he still calls you by name. And the third point is that you must respond. You must respond to God. You know, when we have a service like we're having today, you go out of here and you're going to respond to God. How are you going to do that? Well, you will either live out the sermon or you will go on just like you've been going on. But it's up to you to live out the service. You're not just a Christian on Sunday. Amen? So let's continue on here in verse 2. And it says, "Then God said, take your son, your only son." Now, I'm going to give a little bit of a back history, because what I understand is that not every single person got up at 5:30 for 18 years and read the Bible. I get it. So I will give you a back history on Abraham and his wife Sarah. They were old. Yep. Some of us are there, some of us are getting there. But they were older, and they had no children. And they desperately wanted children. His wife wanted children, and she had an idea one day, and she said, okay, we're going to help God, and we're going to have a child one way or another. Now, I'm going to tell you, when you get your mind set up that you're going to do something, no matter whether God's up in it or not, you're going to have to deal with some product of disobedience and a mistake. And see, God didn't do that to you. When you get right in your lap, the mistake that you've made, don't get mad at God, because see, God is still going to be there to help you fix it. But don't get mad at God and wondering why God's testing you, because see, that is not a test from God. That is just a process of you reaping what you sowed. And when you disobey God, there's a consequence there. Okay, so Sarah, she says, okay, Abraham, I've got a great idea. I want you to go lay with our maid, our hand servant, and her name is Hagar, and I want you to have a baby with her. Now, any man should know that is a terrible idea. But he went along with it because his wife told him to. She said, this is what I want you to do. Now, look here, you can't listen to everything your wife says, and you can't listen to everything your husband says, because there's times where they're going to get so desperate that they just want some type of something going on, and you better know the voice of God above everything else. Because if you don't, you're going to do some suffering and some dealing with your problems that you didn't want to deal with, and you done stepped out of line of what God had for you. And that's exactly what they did. He lay with Hagar, and they have a son, him and the maidservant, and they named this child Ishmael. Now, Ishmael was the mistake. He was not the son that God spoke to Abraham and said, I'm going to give you a son. That was not the son that he was talking about. Now, it's so important that when you hear from God, you don't change in your brain what God said just because something ain't happening when you want it to. And a lot of people do that because they say, well, God said I'll have one, so he didn't care if I have it with this chick, so let me go and do that. No, see, your wife's going to get all up into that stuff when she gets her hormones up out of there, and she gets mad at that kid because really at the end of the day, it ain't her kid. Can we preach where we all living at? Okay. So we get this kid, we get Ishmael, and Ishmael was not the promised son. He was a mistake. Now, I want you to pay very close attention, because we're mainly focusing on this one verse. In verse 2, we're going to pull out things up in here. And so it says, then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac. Now, Ishmael, the kid we just got done talking about, he was already born when God was speaking to Abraham. I want you to see in this verse, Sherry, that God did not recognize in here the mistake. Because he said, take your son, your only son. And we spend too much time still recognizing past mistakes. And God has done moved past that, and he's saying, come on, get your son, your only son, Isaac, because that's the one that I'm recognizing in this conversation between me and you, Abraham. Get him, and let's go on a road trip. We got some things to do. So I'm asking you today, are there some mistakes in your life and you keep circling around them? Because, see, we have a habit of circling around some mistakes, and God's done move past that, and we haven't. There are things that you done ask God to forgive you for. You're sorry. You're repentant. But you still have not let it go, and it hinders you because you can't move on when you're still holding on to the guilt that you feel about what you did. And that's an important thing for you to be able to lay the guilt down, just to be able to move on, because we see God had already moved on. God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac. He did not even recognize that other child. Now, did God help Ishmael, and did God do things for Ishmael? Yes, he did. But when it came to Abraham and Abraham's life, Abraham made a mistake. And there was a point in time right here where God stopped recognizing that mistake, and God himself moved on, and he said, Abraham, I'm going to call you out. I'm going to call you by name, and I'm telling you right now, take your only son. I'm not recognizing the mistake anymore. I've already gone past it. See, that's important for somebody to know in here today, is God has already moved past what you did. You're going to have to move past it. You're going to have to lay it down and say, God, I'm going to just tell you one last time, I'm sorry. God, I'm going to just tell you one last time, Lord, help me to let this go. But see, God is not holding that against you, but you're holding it against you. And God is wishing that you'd quit circling around that thing, because, see, every time you circle around that thing, it grows bigger and it holds you back even more. There's going to have to be that moment in time where you just say, I surrender and I lay it down right here. Now, we see that he says, take your son, your only son. Now, Abraham was a person of some means. Abraham had cows. Abraham had sheep. I'm sure he had donkeys. I'm sure he had property. I'm sure he had some nice things, okay? But God said, take your son. He didn't say, take what's easy. It would have been easy for Abraham to just take what really didn't matter to him. And that's what a lot of people do. They take what really doesn't matter, one hill of beans to them, and then they try to give it to God. And see, God is going to reject that. God wants what matters the most to you. And most of the time, that's the people that you love the most. And most of the time, those people have become your idol because you put them above God. Well, what does my kid want to do today? Well, they don't want to go to church. We're not going to. Let me tell you something. Do not get mad at God when that kid gets 18 years old and they're a living hailstorm, because that ain't God's fault. Okay? I can preach about this because I've got one right now, and it takes every bone in my body, every nerve, everything to just deal, okay? We're at a very challenging time. God's not asking you to do what's easy. God's not asking you to give him what would be easy for you. God wants what matters the most to you. Why? Because that's when God knows he's really got you. God knows that's when he's really got you. So it says, take your son, not your donkeys, not your lambs, your son, the one I promised to you, the one that you love, the one that Sarah had in her old age. Take him, Abraham, We're always trying to give God what's easy and what's convenient. But once again, I'm going to reiterate here, God wants what you love the most. He wants what you love the most. And it says, your only son. God didn't recognize Ishmael. I'm going to encourage you today to stop recognizing what has gone on in your life that he already forgave. Stop circling around that. Is there mistakes in your life that you still haven't moved on from? Maybe you think about them. Maybe you wake up every day and you think about that. I'm going to encourage you today to lay that down. God is not holding that against you. God is wanting to go on with your life. He's wanting to take you on and move you forward. And that's going to take you laying that thing down and moving forward. And I know that it's not easy for me to say that. I've had to wrestle with that myself. We got to stop circling around the mistakes. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we will fall under what I call a religious spirit, where every time something bad happens to us, let's just say I get a flat tire. I got a flat tire because 10 years ago, I robbed the bank. Oh, God, I shouldn't have robbed the bank. Every time something happens to me, it's because I robbed the bank. I stubbed my toe on the nightstand. It's because I robbed the bank. I fell down in the ice storm. And that happened to me because I robbed the bank. And see, we keep that one thing that we did, or that season of life that we went through. And if we're not careful, we will come under some condemnation and we will begin to think that everything that's bad happening to us is because of that thing that we done did or the thing that done happened in our life. We got to let that go because, see, God has let it go. God has let that go. Well, God can't use me because back in 1987, I said the S word when I hurt myself. Get up out of a religious spirit and stop making excuses why God can't do such and such in your life, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is not holding things against his children. Just like we wouldn't hold those things against ours. Do we get disappointed in our children sometimes? Absolutely. Are we going to not feed them over it? No. God doesn't even mention or consider Abraham's mistake. God is ready to move forward with him. And God's ready to move forward with you. Now it says here, then God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Now, I'm going to speak to you a moment on the name Isaac. The name Isaac, right here, in this passage, literally means thy laughter. Thy laughter. So what God is saying here, I'm going to read you the rest of the verse so I can pull out some more things. Then God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will tell you about. And so what God is saying is, take the joy of your life, your baby, your son, the one that you love, the one that you prayed for, the one that I promised you, the promised son, the person that you're going to give everything that you have to when you die, take that one and go to the region of Moriah and sacrifice him. And not just sacrifice him, but sacrifice him in a burnt offering. And so what that meant is kill him first and then burn him. So take thy laughter, take that baby that you love. I mean, Abraham's probably thinking, okay, what am I going to say to Sarah? My God, I'm not going to be able to come home after I obey God on this one. take the love of your life and go sacrifice them. Now, God's not asking for the thing that's easy for you. Sometimes God's asking for the things that you love the most. Now, God's not going to ask anybody in here to go sacrifice their kid. Let's bring this back to modern day. Okay? But see, people have trouble giving God anything. People have trouble giving God 5 minutes. If it's going to interfere with your TV show, God ain't getting it. No. Well, look here. Don't get mad at God when things don't go right in your life. So many people, when they pray, it's like a Christmas wish list. Lord, gimme, 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 gimme. I will say this. When I drive up to McDonald's, and I try not to very often because that will catch up with you quicker than anything else. I went there Friday, and I was feeling it. I got me a caramel chocolate medium frappe. I said, load me up on that caramel. Load that sucker up. I like it. I had a headache the entire day after that. And my heart was just pounding. Way too much caffeine. But when I pulled up there, they said, how can I serve you today? Now, if the McDonald's people can get that right, can't we? When we wake up in the morning, before your little toe touches the carpet, if we'd get in the habit of just saying, God, how can I serve you today? Lord, what can I give you today? God, what do you want from me today? Lord, where do you want me to be in today? God, if it's the day that I'm going to have to make peace with my enemy, God, so be it. Lord, put me in the right place at the right time to do what you'd have me to do. But see, a lot of us start our day in chaos and stress and anxiety. Take your joy, take your laughter, your promised son, the baby that you prayed for, your pride and joy, take him away from his mama, kill him, and sacrifice him. And this was Abraham's test. How has God tested you? And you probably know whether you passed or you failed that test, because if you didn't pass it, you're coming around that thing until you get it. And you got to decide, how much longer, how many more years do I want to waste coming full circle with this thing that I cannot lay down? I don't know what it is, but... So the test was this right here. Abraham, does your commitment and your love for God take priority over what you love the most, which was Isaac? If I said, okay, and I've learned not to say these vague statements because, Angel, I'm quite over all of it. Who in here loves God? Oh, me, Pastor, I love God. I love him. I don't ask questions like that because I know exactly what I'm going to get. Everything like, yeah, we love God. That's why we're here. Does your life show that you love God? If he asked you for something, would you give it to him if it was difficult? Would you give it to him if it cost you everything? And see, I'm not talking about money right now. I'm not going to exclude it. I may bring it up here in a few minutes, but right now I'm talking about your soul. Don't make any mistake about that. Oh, I love God. Then why are you out of the center of His will for your life? We got to ask ourselves that. This was Abraham's test. Abraham, is there anything that you love more than you love me? Why? Because see, in the Word of God it says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. See, that is the requirement that we have. And if we're not careful, what we do is we let other things and other people right in His place. And then what happens is trouble comes. And we'll be all, oh. A lot of times, Angel, I know what's going on with people. Because here's what happens with some folks. They will lay up out of church for weeks at a time. But when trouble comes, it don't matter that the kids said they didn't want to go. We're going to be up in church on the third to the last row, and we're going to be there. Why can't you come when it's going good? Why can't you do the right thing when it's going good? See, if what is your motivation, and do you really love God? Do you really love Him? To see if you love Him, whenever He asks for whatever, you're saying, okay, Lord, you got it. Are y'all catching my drift here? Does your commitment and your love for God rise above everything else and everyone else? Everything else? And everyone else. Because, see, if you don't know the answer to that question, they're going to be a test, and we're going to just see. I know the first couple years that I pastored, God just said, Kelly, you're going to have to take quitting just plumb off the table. You're going to just have to just take it off the table, because on your roughest day, I still want to know that I got you. Angel, I don't think about quitting, ever. Sometimes I think, Lord, this may kill me, but I ain't thinking about quitting. Do you really, really love God? Does He have the right to come into your life and ask for anything that He wants? A lot of times people say, well, Pastor, I don't know what He wants, and I'm going to tell you what He wants is you. What He wants is you. He wants your choices. He wants your grief. He wants your mourning. He wants your depression. He wants your stress, and He wants your anxiety. He wants your failures. He wants your successes. He wants your soul. He wants your the very beat of what gets you. That's what He wants. It's not a hard thing to know what God wants. God wants you, all of you. Go with me now to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 21. Your tests and your trials will reveal to you and everyone around you where your heart is. Where your heart is. You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I love when people are like, Pastor, will you help me figure out why I cuss them out in the harps pasta aisle? Well, I'll tell you, because that's what you had up in you. And you rehearsed it probably time and time again right before you went to bed. And then you done ran up to them unexpectedly with your buggy in the pasta aisle. And you just thought, here's a divine appointment from Satan, and I'm going to go with it. So you gave them a piece of your mind when really you should have kept that piece because you need it. And you done had diarrhea of the mouth and let them have it. And you thought that was going to make you feel better. How many of you ever really just gave it to somebody and you thought, this is going to make me feel so good when I just get to let this out and let them have it? And then, Johnny, what happens is we get all that dirt and filth that we wanted to say to him probably for years, and we just pile it on them. And we go to home and we're like, God, I feel worse than ever. Because let me tell you something. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is in your heart? Do you really love God? Does your heart really love Him? Because what a good test brings out is whether you really do or not. So in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, it says, for where your treasure is, what is your treasure? What are you treasuring? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There your heart will be also. Now I know I've got a lot of parents in this room. And I am going to say something that may sound insane to you, but you're going to have to just go with it, and I could give it to you right in the Word. God is asking you to love Him more than you love anything else, and that includes your kids. God is asking us to love Him more than we love anything else. A lot of people love Him a lot. But we've all got some Isaacs in our life that we love, that we prayed for, that we asked God for. And God wants to know, do you love me more? Do you love me more? Because where your treasure is, there your heart's going to be. What is in that heart? What do you treasure? See, whatever you put before God, God's a jealous God. He said in His Word, He will not have any other gods above Him. And yet so many of us have these idols, have these other gods that we put above Him. Let me tell you something. Anything that you put before God, it's coming down in shambles. I'm not trying to give you a fear tactic. I'm just telling you the reality. I'm giving you the Word, and I'm fixing to take you here where it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then and only then are all these things going to be added to you. When does that happen? When you seek Him first, when you put Him first, when you love Him, when you say, God, you've got the right to come in here and call all the shots. Lord, you've got the right to come in here and ask me to do anything that you'd have me to do. I remember one day sitting, looking at my stove, and for 6 months before the pandemic started, I began to see visions of myself cooking. I don't know why I'm seeing this. I'm really not a cooker. And then I began to see these white trays for six months. See, God was birthing something right there. You know, the food ministry really started right out of my home. Because I looked around and all the elderly around me were sad. They were depressed. They couldn't get out of their home. I began to cook right out of my home. And I thought, well, I can do about 10 people a week. See, does God have the right to come up into your life and to make you do something that maybe you're uncomfortable doing? Amen. Does He have the right to come in and say, you're doing it this way, but I really want you to do it this way because that's my will for your life? It's going to be, see, God's never going to do something probably the way that you think that He should have you do it. He's going to do it in a supernatural way because He's a supernatural God. And it says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What do you treasure most? What do you treasure most? Is there something that you put before God? Is there something that you love more than you love God? It's important that we get our priorities straight. It's important that we get our priorities straight. Go with me now to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look in verse 33 out of the King James Version up here, gentlemen. And it says here, but seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. In another translation, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things shall be added. Seek first his kingdom. Seek him first. And then all these things are going to be added. Seek him first. Put him first. Sometimes we get stuck in a rut in our life and we're thinking, well, God, why am I still in this? Why am I still in it? You know, I'm in something right now and I just keep saying, God, when is this going to be over? Ugh. I don't like this. I'm over it. My attention span has done gone on to the good part of life where I want to be with some things. But God, why am I still up in this? And Tommy, I have been praying about that situation more because I want to know, God, set me straight. Lord, reveal it to me. If there's something I need to do or if I zigged and I should have zagged, God, show that to me because I will make it right. But see, how much do you love God? Do you love God enough where you admit that you were wrong about something? Do you love God enough that somebody that's over you can come in and say, hey, you messed up? Do you love God enough to where you'll say, God, I surrender? How much do you really love God this morning? So it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things shall be added. If you're stuck, you may ask God, Lord, where did I miss it? There was something where I should have sought you first. Bring me back to that place so I can make that right. You know, sometimes when we've gone on a long time being wrong in the wrong about something, God has to take you back and you make that circle and you circle back and he'll bring you right back to that place. It's an opportunity to make that right choice. I remember years ago being in a Celebrate Recovery meeting over there and somebody had came in on their 6-year sobriety anniversary and we said, how did you make it to 6 years? And she said, every single day I wake up and I look for, I search for my next opportunity to make the next right decision. Amen. If you really love God, when you get up in the morning, look for your very next opportunity to love him deeper. To surrender to him deeper. To commit to him deeper. See, Abraham's whole test was, Abraham, do you love me more? Do you love me more? I know that you love Isaac. I gave him to you. You prayed for him. I know that your wife Sarah loves him. They're literally your laughter, your joy. But do you love me more? Do you love me more than that? See, how many of you remember praying to God for something and it was a big deal? You prayed and he answered your prayer. Don't ever get tired of thanking God for what he's already done. And don't ever think that you don't have to show God that you'll love him. We got to show him that we love him. Go with me now to Matthew chapter 22. We're going to look at verse 37 through 38. And in verse 36 it says, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? In verse 37, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. Those are three different things, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. See, if you're having trouble with your mind, you need to surrender that mind right over to Christ and say, God, you've got all of me right now. Every thought that doesn't line up with your word. See, if you won't know if it don't line up with the word if you don't get into the word and know that the word says stop thinking that. Why is it important to get the word inside of you? Because the word is alive and it will keep you from making some of those big mistakes. When you got the word up inside of you that's telling you, you need to do this and you need to do that. See, you're going to have a hard time if you got the word in you going against what you know. See, you can sin and do things out of ignorance. There's people, a lot of baby Christians, they still do these little things, and it's out of ignorance. But see, when you get into the Word and you begin to know that some of the things that you're doing are wrong, the Holy Spirit comes up inside of that heart and it begins to direct you. No, don't do that. Don't go there. I done told you that person wasn't for you. I done told you, no, you can't go here. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The greatest thing that God told us to do was to love Him. Was to love Him. How? Love Him more than we love anything else. Love Him more than we love anything else. I don't know about y'all, but I'm a very hard-headed little chick. Jeremiah. He's gotten to know me better. I'm pretty hard-headed. And Lori, when I really love somebody or something, I love them. I don't care if they're right. I don't care if they're wrong. I love them. That don't mean I'm going to get on board with some of their shenanigans, but when I am with somebody, I'm with them and I love them and I'll be with them and I'll be loyal to them. And I love hard. I got a situation with my own son right now giving me a run for my money. He's 12 years old. Some days I want to literally choke him. I'm just like, God, I don't want to have a prison ministry. They ain't going to let me wear my outfits down there. But God, He's testing me. I remember going in his nursery before I ever even conceived him and weeping and holding his little hat and asking God for him. Saying, God, if you'll give me this son, I will give him back to you. I will raise him right. I am doing my doggone best. If I ever seem edgy, I guarantee you it's Carson. If you ain't got a kid like that, you need to thank God. The problem is he's just too much like me for our own good. But Tanya, here lately, I've been telling God, God, I don't love Carson more than I love you. God, I love you more. So God, you have your way and your say in the both of us. Because God, at the end of the day, I don't love him more than I love you. How much do you love God? And do you love him more than anything else? So what is God looking for? Your affection and your love. It's the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God. So many people, they say, yeah, I love God so much. We go to church. We make a show. Yes, we love God. We love God. But then everything else doesn't add up to we really loving God. Do you really love Him? Loving God equals obedience. Don't tell God how much you love him and you're in a constant state of disobedience in areas in your life. Because see, you really don't love God if you're going against his word. You may think that you do. But see, if God's telling you, don't do that, and you're doing it anyways, if you loved God, you would obey his word. And that's why it's so important for you to get in his word and to know what he's telling you to do. Because, see, God is looking for people that will hear the word of God and live it out. Do the word of God. That's why the word says, don't be hearers only, but be doers. Doers of the word. You can hear something all day long, but if you ain't doing it, it doesn't mean nothing. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. 1 Samuel chapter 15, we're going to look at verse 22. First Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. But Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? See, back in the Old Testament, they used to do all these sacrifices for all this stuff. And Samuel's saying here, does the Lord really like burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as he just loves people obeying what God said? Well, put yourself in God's shoes. You had a bunch of kids, and they said, every time we screw up, we're going to just go kill something and sacrifice it. And that'll take the place of us actually just doing what you said. No. God would prefer obedience. Obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than having to go around and around constantly and keep coming up to the same old spot. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. Now, the first little bit of my pastoring, I would say within the first 6 months, I walked in the bathroom back there. And that bathroom used to have a shower in there, and it used to be real ugly, the women's bathroom. How many of y'all like pretty bathrooms in here, okay? All right. I don't like to go to ugly bathrooms. Because if they're ugly, they probably ain't clean either. I mean, there's just certain things need to look right. The bathroom is one of them. And I was going back there, and hardly ever do I even go to the bathroom, because when I step foot in this church, it is on. I mean, I will zip up through every inch of this church because I'm busy. But I actually went pee back there when I first started being the pastor. I was sitting on the toilet, and I was going, well, this bathroom looks awful. And God said, go in the men's bathroom. Don't tell me God's not a God of details, because God is a God of details. And I looked in the men's bathroom, and it wasn't no better. And I heard God tell me, remodel these bathrooms. So I got some key people in there, and I said, I feel like God's saying, remodel the bathrooms. And they said, yeah, we need to. We'll do that in a little bit, in a few months. I felt God saying, no, I told you now. The timing of God is always spot on. So when God tells you to do something, you need to do it when he tells you. Because when you have to go back, there's times where you're going to have to do the right thing. And it may be out of season just because you was hard-headed. And that's going to cost you some grief. It would have been better for me to just listen when I heard his voice the first time. And I'll be danged 1 week later, Ashley, okay? The whole back of there was flooded. And by the time that situation was done, I had Steve Ellington dug through the foundation, through the flooring, could see dirt in the women's bathroom. Steve was just nearly crying, and I was crying for sure. And God said, it would have been better if you'd have just listened. When I talk to you and I tell you something, I want you to respond and I want you to obey, because, see, to obey is going to be better than what's coming next. Did your mama ever tell you, if pretty ain't good, ugly's on the way? Well, let me just tell you. When you hear his voice and he tells you something, you need to heed. You need to say, oh, God, you're talking to me. I'm going to listen. Because, see, God wants the very, very best for you. He gave you the Isaacs in your life. And he wants to know at any point in time that he asked you, do you love him more than all them things and all that stuff that he gave you? If he asked you to give it up, will you give it to him? I've been telling God, Lord, I give Carson right back to you. God, I don't know what to do with him. But I give him back to you, Lord, just like I promised you that I would. God, you can have him. You give me the wisdom on what to do. How much do you love God? Do you love him enough that you'll give him your choices? So to obey is better than sacrifice. Disobedience will cost you. Disobedience will cost you. First Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. I'm going to finish that. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. Verse 23, for rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, the instruction of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Here's Samuel, and he's having a conversation with Saul. And he's telling Saul, God has rejected you as the king because God told you to do something, and he told you to do it in a certain way, and you didn't listen. And because you rejected his instruction, he's rejecting you. When we reject the instruction of God, you can put it on your calendar. There's going to be some things come up that you're going to have to deal with, because at the end of the day, to obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than whatever's coming when we don't. Am I trying to get you to walk in fear? No. I'm trying to get you to say, you know what? I love God. I love God, and because I love him, I'm going to listen to him. Because I love him, I'm going to obey him. My mom and dad, when I became a young adult and I still lived under their roof, they still had rules. Can you believe that? Well, one of their rules was this right here. Me and your mama can't go to bed good if you're still out. So we want you home at 11 o'clock. And the reason we want you home at 11 o'clock is, number one, you're still living under our roof. And we can't sleep unless you hear and we know you're safe. And then he said something that I'll never forget. Nothing good happens after 11 o'clock anyways. And boy, was he right. And I didn't have a problem with that. And most of the time, I was home at 10. Because I didn't like to be out late anyways. But to obey. Can God just come into your life and just say, hey, I want to do this in your life, but I need to know that you love me more than you love anything else. Last place for me this morning, Isaiah chapter 1. I'm going to take you to a promise. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19 through 20. For if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. If you are willing and if you are obedient, you will eat the best from the land. What does that really mean? If you are willing and if you are obedient, you're going to have the best life. He didn't say you're going to have the good or the fair or the average. He said the best. The best. The best. If you want his best, you got to give him everything that you got, all your choices, your love, your affection, but your obedience. Your obedience. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. I'm aware there's so many different people in here, so many different people watching. But if you're in a season of your life and you're having some difficulty because you got some Isaacs in your life and you're kind of torn, you're just torn, and you say, God, help me to put you first. Right now I'm struggling to do that. Lord, help me to lay every Isaac down in my life and to love you more. I'm going to ask you to stand right now because, see, God sees what's in your life. He sees what's in your heart. He's there to come along you and help you. But he needs to know where you're at, and he needs you to know where you're at. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, as people respond to your word, God, I thank you that you're responding right back. God, you're meeting them right in that place. Lord, I ask you right now to help each one of us standing to put you first in Jesus' name. Lord, give us wisdom right now in every area where we lack wisdom. God, help us to know what to do with all of the Isaacs in our life. Lord, help us to be obedient. God, in Jesus' name, amen. If y'all will give us about 5 minutes, I need Bobby, Frank, Sherry, and that's probably all. We will start here, but I'm going to ask that nobody else go back there. We are going to get it ready, and we've got lots of good food. Yes, you, Miss Mary, I forgot to mention you. And we are going to give away